Hey everybody, welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Today on the show, we have LG's Mike Statura and Blue Star's Patrick Trout. We're going to be talking about digital signage 101. This is going to be the basics to help you get started. We're going to talk about top industries that are using digital signage. Mm-hmm. What are some of the core components that you need to be thinking about if you want to get into this particular field?
Yep.
Choosing the right software, make a few predictions about the future. We got a lot of stuff to talk about with some experts today.
Everything you need to know to get into digital signage,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. There you go. Everything. When we're done here, you'll have everything you need. So Bingo. It is time for us to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. It's time to get connected.
As I mentioned, we are going to talk today about digital signage. Our guests are, first off, Mike Statura from LG. Mike is the Senior Distribution Sales Manager. Mike, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to where you are, and what you do at LG.
Yeah, so I was born shortly after birth. I'm just kidding. I've been with LG for about 7 years. I've been part of the distribution community for up on 12, 13 years now. But I've always had a love of TVs, and it just sort of progressed into a career. So as a kid growing up, I love video games and tinkering around with TV and audio. So I worked at Circuit City prior to that in the home theater space. And then it just naturally evolved into sort of the pro signage element in the pro signage world. So thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely.
It's a great point. I never think about the fact that, like, we're just talking about TVs here, you know.
Right?
If you like TVs, you get digital signage, don't you?
Yeah. And Mike gets to do what he loves to do.
Exactly.
And what he was doing as a kid. It's awesome.
It's the dream. Yeah.
He's living the dream.
Our other guest is Patrick Trout. He is the Blue Star Business Development Manager for LG. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about what you do for LG and here at Blue Star.
So I'm kind of the in-between guy. I deal directly with our sales team, resellers, and then directly with LG. So I'm the in-between guy, and I facilitate the opportunities, fill in all the needs, the products, that sort of thing, answer questions.
Right, you're the guy that gets stuff done.
Absolutely. He's been with Blue Star how many years
I've
now,
been
Patrick?
With Blue Star for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
Man, yeah. He is the man.
So, yeah. I've done a little bit of sales.
So
I did sales for about 10 years. Yeah, that's the joke since I was 12. But I'm actually coming up. I think it's next year I'll be with Blue Star over half of my life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So seriously, wow. I mean, Patrick's been through almost every role, and right? You've been in the warehouse for a little bit?
I started in the warehouse for a year, sales assistant, sales. Yeah. Marketing for like 5 years.
So that's he knows awesome. Distribution. Not
yes,
only does he know
right.
LG,
ins and outs of the channel.
There he's a lifer.
Go. He's a lifer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're glad to have him.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, both of you, for joining us today. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about digital signage. We kind of wanted to take an introductory 101 approach, so we're going to pretend like we're professors here of a class. Maybe one of our resellers out there is not sure if they want to delve into this. Maybe they're great at POS. Maybe they're great at warehouse solutions and mobile computers. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some niches they're good at, but they've always stayed away from digital signage. So if you have and you're not sure if this is something that you really want to get into, we're going to talk to you a little bit about why you should be getting into it, where you should be paying attention, and also what you need to help your customers, if you have customers, put together a great digital signage package.
We're going to demystify digital signage. Yeah, you like that word?
I love it.
Yeah, because I do think the opportunity's there. I mean, when you think about it, and I know I'm a little, it's a little close to my heart because I came out of the digital signage world, but there's some opportunities there for a lot of our resellers in there. So, yeah,
yes,
we got
sir.
Good stuff.
Indeed. Well, Mike, I will let you get started. My first question for you is, tell us about some of the top industries that are using digital signage right now, and how are they utilizing it?
Yeah, so your major industries right now, you're seeing corporate and retail are some real heavy adopters. From a market standpoint, it's quickly changed over 2020 how digital signage is really used. And one of the biggest things that retailers and any public-facing venue has really looked at is how to inform the public of any recent changes. So you really see with retail, for example, big changes right now. What are new store hours? What are the policies when you enter the store? Is it, please wait here for someone to come greet you? Is it, come on in, we're wide open. We're closed on Sundays now. The bathrooms were just cleaned 10 minutes ago. Something like that. And getting that information to the public is absolutely key. Not just performing the acts of safety, but letting the public know they are safe. So corporate, You think of like HR, communicating within employees within the building, letting them know, hey, we're safe here. We've put these measures in place. We have an upcoming employee meeting here, open enrollments right around the corner, and wash your hands, wear your mask, things like that. From a retail standpoint, things like people counting. How many people are in the facility right now? Are we within the realm of max occupancy? So a lot of new markets have evolved specific with this, but you also see the traditionals, your quick service restaurants, changing over your menu boards to digital. And the average company, if you have 50 or more stores, it's over $2 million anytime they make a single change to that menu. So you think with absorbing a digital signage application, edit, post, push out, you're done. No more millions of dollars of printing, having to have somebody go up, take the old posters down, bring the new posters in, putting up the new posters, the recycling the old posters. Now it's just updating some digital content. You're seeing a lot of changes too in the way that you have to inform the public of calorie count. So you can't just hide it really in the bottom corner here. My favorite restaurant, I'm in Buffalo, New York, my favorite sub place, they had the sub. Great, handwritten on a chalkboard there. Fast forward to the calorie count thing. Realize it's 1,400 calories for that sub. So now I get it. I just feel a little bit bigger when I do. So thanks, Digital Science, for that little conversion piece there. But there's a lot of different metrics, and it comes down to what is the goal of the company or the end user that you're working with. So if you think of a bank, a lot of times we think a bank, you have that perceived wait time. I'm in line forever. If you have a TV just playing, you know, a station right there, you don't feel like you're waiting as long. So then you have a better customer experience. Within retail, are you trying to sell more of a single product, or are you trying to change around the way the customer feels and interacts about your brand? So you can change your brand perception with digital signage. Think of transparent displays, touch screens, just flashing your logo and showing that different kind of cool ambiance. So really identifying at its core, what is the goal of that company? You think of a bar or restaurant, you need butts in the seats. You want people to be sitting there ordering their next drink, ordering their next meal. If you increase their dwell time that they sit at that seat, they're going to order more food. You're going to increase sales that way. So just coming down, what's the goal? What's the objective? And then really working back, finding all the components that play into that solution.
Yeah, and before we get into that, and I think your point's pretty valid there, one of the things that I wrote down is, you know, and what Mike just painted a picture there, and not to get too frustrating, is that digital signage is everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. It can be everywhere. So I think your points are absolutely valid. Retail, yep, got applications. Public, yep, got applications. I mean, you name it, there's an application for digital signage. But what I like about where the industry is right now, and I can remember back in the day when the barrier to entry was cost. And so a lot of folks wouldn't even consider putting in digital signage because the cost of the infrastructure was really high. Right. Not just the display itself, right, Mike and Patrick, but you know, even the media players and stuff like that. And so when they were looking at these high cost things, it was like the ROI was really hard to connect unless you were an airport where you had, you know, tens of thousands of people walking through or something along those lines. But now I think the barrier to entry from a cost standpoint is so much lower. You're seeing all these other industries being able to utilize dynamic digital signage. And when you have something that's dynamic, to what Mike was saying, where you can change the message in real time, in adopting to whatever is happening in that environment, the advantages are there, right? Now we've got the perfect kind of storm of we've got the ability where the barrier to entry, and we'll get into some of the components, have come down dramatically, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Making it easier and simpler to deploy these types of programs, removing extra hardware, just making it simpler and easier that you don't have to be an expert in marketing to deploy this stuff, to create that content. So really trying to help that barrier.
Yeah, and it can be easier. I mean, I don't know, what do you think, Patrick? Like I'm thinking of a manufacturer. You know, I'm thinking of an ADC reseller out there who's living in the warehouse all day long. We're starting to see digital signage there too, right? Mm-hmm. So that way they can see productivity and things like that. But really, in today's world, it's just connecting a little bit of an API maybe over to the digital signage, and you can utilize digital signage even in a manufacturing world, right? So even if you're exactly a reseller that's maybe not into digital signage, there might be a play there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can see it everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. So Mike, you kind of mentioned the components of a digital signage package. And Patrick, I want you to kind of talk a little bit about that because obviously you're very much involved with the hardware side of things on a regular basis. So you know, if someone is looking to get started, looking to get into this particular field and has a digital signage opportunity, what are the core components that they need to be thinking about for their customer that wants to start using digital signage in their facility in some way?
Yeah. So there's going to be really four main components. The first being the display. Those are going to come in anywhere from 32 inches all the way up to massive video walls. I mean, I think we have, what, an 80 plus on the wall here.
Right.
But it's really recommended that you use a high quality commercial display, because in the long run, you know, it's going to give you, it's going to protect, it's going to have IP certifications, conformal coating, which will help improve the reliability and just the length of the life of the display. The second component is the software. So there's many different software developers, and they can help you with the content creation, training, support, overall creation of the content. But I'm going to give a plug for TechConnect.
Oh.
I mean, we have over 2,400 software developers loaded in our system. I mean, Blue Star can use that as a resource to help any of our resellers find the perfect software solution for our customers.
And some of them are as simple as just a plug and play, where you just literally have to just type in what you need and it does it all for you, all the way up to you can design some amazing, beautiful marketing messages and just gorgeous stuff. So we run the breadth, whether you want somebody that needs it simple or somebody that has the team and the capacity to design some really amazing stuff.
Yep,
exactly. And then the third component, it's going to be a media player. So that's going to be the main source behind your signage and what runs the content. But there's also manufacturers that have a system on chip, which is an embedded, it's embedded, so it runs the content as well. And as Mike mentioned, that's going to help, you know, lower your costs of deployment. It'll take away additional hardware like a media player, because you can run it through the screen. The fourth component is the content, which is probably the most important. You're gonna there's software providers that have different templates, the content teams that help you just develop the content, rich, eye-catching content that's really gonna draw on the customer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that, to me, that's one of those critical aspects too. Because how many times have you seen a piece of digital signage that looks great, but is running content that just is not useful, looks awful. You know, just it looks like a web page from like the you know, the beginning of the internet or something. I'm always fascinated. You're like, hey, you got this amazing screen and you clearly have a desire to do this, but you look like you have a GeoCities website thrown up on it right now.
That has gotten so much better though. I can
it
tell
has.
You
because
I came
very much has.
I came out of the content world. That's how I made a living for like, I don't know, close to a decade. I was developing content for digital signage. But today's world, you know, you don't have to, that doesn't have to be a fear point. There are providers out there. There are libraries out there. There is automation on the content side that is phenomenal. And you can have real-time information that looks great, you know, coming that you know, your signage is not going to look stupid, if you will, from the sense of, oh my God, look at that. You know, what kind of information is up there?
Right.
That's no good. I want to go back real quick on one of the components, if we could, real quick, Patrick. And Mike, maybe you can chime in here. You know, the importance of having a commercial display. I mean, we cannot emphasize that enough because, again, I'll just go back to where I was in a previous life. We would have customers all the time. And again, I'll get, you know, it used to be the cost of the components was part of the barrier. And so a lot of people would try to go on the cheap on the display, right? Oh, you know, I cannot tell you how many times I was in a sales meeting. Well, I can go down to Best Buy and get, you know, a $300 32-inch display, and you're trying to charge me whatever for this commercial device. I'm like, do you want it to last or do you not want it to last? And sometimes I would win the argument. And Mike, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Sometimes I wouldn't. But every time I lost the argument, all I had to do was go back there in 6 months and say, well, how's it going? And, you know, oh, there's burn-in, or, you know, the display's crapped out. So the commercial aspect of it, right, Mike, is critical, is one of those critical components. You don't want to go on the cheap, right?
Exactly. So even at its core, not all displays are created equal. Patrick had mentioned conformal coating. I want to talk about that in just a second. But even from a basic TV standpoint, if you think about a bar or a restaurant, lot of times they just want a real basic TV. With the commercial line of display, you can actually do things like lock out the IR sensor, lock out the actual buttons on the panel. So now people can't go in and change the channel, turn it on, off, anything like that. But then also program the displays to turn themselves on and off at a set time. So you're not at the end of the night walking around with your remote trying to click each individual one, turn them on and off. Now, the other thing, too, is a lot of folks want smart TVs. And you want that feature. You absolutely, in your house, you want that feature. You want to be able to connect your phone to it. You want Netflix. You want Hulu. You want all that good stuff. But in a bar or restaurant, I challenge anyone, if you're in a bar or restaurant, open your phone and hit your screen mirror button. Have it search for any displays in the area. If you happen to see any old display listed there, you know it's a consumer panel. Click that button and you can take over that display. So on the consumer display, now you have full control with your phone over what that display is showing. After a cocktail, after 10 p.m., you may or may not play the most appropriate content on there. But whatever I want to play may not be what the proprietor or business owner wants to be displayed on that TV. So being able to turn off features and functions like that is a core component of the commercial display. Patrick, he mentioned the conformal coating as well. So if we think of an environment with a warehouse or a location like that, they're dusty, they're dirty. There's constantly things moving around in there. There's a lot of dust and debris in the air. The conformal coating actually is a coating that's applied to the motherboards, and that it prevents things like corrosion, so you have that longer lifespan to it. So that's key. With a lot of your commercial displays, you're going to see at least a 2 to 3 year on-site warranty, as opposed to your consumer display, which if put into a consumer environment, they're either voided 30 or 90 days. So once the display is up, you want it to work for a long time. You don't want to be going out for service calls every 2-3 months to fix or replace that display. So yes, the commercial displays do cost a little bit more, but your total cost of ownership of that the longevity of that project, you want to meet the goals and objectives of that project and make sure that you're not, you know, wasting the tech's time going out there every couple of days.
I'm telling you, Mike's not lying there. It pays for itself. I know it can be painful when you're in the sales process. Because again, everybody walks in with their Best Buy number that they saw at a Black Friday sale, you know, or they're practically giving away the 42-inch display just to get you in the door. Right. That's not the display you want, you know, to put your reputation on when you're getting into this game and when you're installing digital signage systems.
Well, your consumer device is typically not running 16 hours a day either. I mean, unless you're doing like a serious Netflix binge or something, you know, you're not used to putting that wear and tear on it every single solitary day. And if you did, your consumer device would be dead within probably a year if you were lucky.
Yeah. Let's dive a little bit more into the player, because, you know, I guess I've been out of the industry long enough that really so a lot of the displays, Patrick, have onboard media players now. Is that where it's gone? Or, I mean, talk to us a little bit about that, and or maybe even what LG offers there. I'm not too certain, but are the media players, I mean, they're on board, so it's like everything's encased on the display.
The system on chip is embedded into the display.
Yeah, gotcha.
So you're going to use it's almost like running an APK. You're loading a download file, the software, onto that display, and you're running it through the display. There's not a separate hardware component like a media player that you have to hide behind the display. Cuts down on, you know, additional costs.
Oh yeah,
of the deployment, but
The installation alone, you know, and stuff like that. You're saving on. Yep. Okay.
But yeah, there's many different software developers that it's as easy as downloading the APK file and you're up and running.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that software. Obviously, you know, a lot of the hardware, you know, that we talk about and a lot of the things we talk about doing is only as good as the software you actually are running on it.
So true.
And I can't imagine that's definitely not the case here with digital signage. So Mike, tell us, you know, from your perspective, how do you choose the right kind of software and content? Like how do you recommend that if someone's working with a customer that really wants to do this and they know that software piece is coming up, and as we mentioned, there's a lot of software, you know, companies that we work with, a lot of different options out there. How do you go about choosing the right one?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's really starting with, you know, giving Blue Star a call. Saying, hey, Patrick, what do you recommend for this specific application? Because a lot of times you'll see different specialties across the different software providers. Some may be really, really strong in QSR. Others, if you need an automation system set up for corporate communications, there might be a different specialty to look at. So with your basic entry-level signage, there's free template-based systems. Very easy that someone that knows how to use PowerPoint could create some content. But that's very cost effective. You can now, there was a case that we worked with in a quick service restaurant. It looked like just a digital menu board. And all it was a little fly. It was like think of like a Rainforest Cafe type theme. And it was a little fly that would just buzz around and then land on cheeseburger. And that actually tied into their inventory. So if they were running, say, low on hot dogs and they needed to promote hamburgers, or they have an excess of French fries, they need to promote that, this little fly would automatically sync with their inventory system and say, I need to promote this right now. I need to promote this. And just that little fly, just bzz, boom, it increased sales on that particular item. So just if you're ever bored and really, really bored, and you want to talk of content versus context, one of my favorite conversations, is it more important to have the right message at the right time, or is it more important to have the content look pretty? But it's really finding the perfect balance between those two. I think depending on the application, finding the right software partner to do that. Right now with health protocol initiatives, we have a lot of conversations of somebody walking in, you want to have a camera read the surface temperature. But working with a software provider that can actually take that information and then maybe locks into their key card. If it senses a surface temperature too high, it locks them out of the building. But now it can change a digital signage that's facing in the window that says, hey, we'll hold off for just a quick second. Please wait here. Line starts here. Something along those lines. So not to elicit any, you know, just inform of a change. Mm-hmm. And there's software partners that really specifically tie into that. There's also software partners that, if you think of an education system, they can actually manage all of the IoT and automation within a school. So if you have a fire sprinkler that starts going off, you can notify all the different components to react to that. So if this particular one senses an issue, promote this signage to tell this signage to go this way, this signage to go this way. So you can actually use it to command and control as well. So there's a lot of different partners out there. I think if you were to Google digital signage software manufacturers, you're over 10,000 options right now. But really simplifying it, Blue Star with the ISV system, there's a lot of great options to help simplify and streamline those communications to the particular software manufacturers. And then in terms of working with third-party devices, what's the scale? Are we looking to do 4K streaming video? Or is it simply just, hey, here's our specials going on right now. Here's our new store hours, mirroring up to that.
So. You know, you kind of hit a little bit of a point, sort of buried, not buried in there, but that made me think of the idea that we're ingrained as people, especially now in our current world, not the COVID world, but just in our current world in general, mm-hmm. to pay attention to screens. Mm-hmm. We carry a screen around with us everywhere mm-hmm. we go. Mm-hmm. Everything that pops up on it draws our eye and our attention. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you're out and about, digital signage is much more eye-catching and catches your attention than just standard signage.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you walk into your restaurant.
Oh, there's all kinds of studies around it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
when you walk into a restaurant, I notice the difference. Like if I walk into a restaurant that has their fast food menu board or something, up mm-hmm. in beautiful digital signage that's dynamic and moving around and colorful, I notice that. Whereas if you walk into a restaurant that just has a static old menu board with maybe just little individual letters or something, the old school stuff, mm-hmm. most likely you're not paying as much attention to that. And you're going to be that person that walks up to the counter going, what do I want again? Whereas otherwise, maybe you were in line the whole time. You were staring at that because you were fascinated by it. Yeah. So I think there's something to be said for, that kind of that partnership and those software companies and the idea of placing signage to tell a message you want to tell that's going to catch people's attention because they're ingrained and trained to look for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very effective. Like I said, there's been studies on it. Go ahead, Patrick.
No, I was going to say, I think as you mentioned in the restaurants, the way the times are right now, they really need to grab that attention. Yeah. I mean, they're being opened up, they're being shut down. No one knows if they're open. Mm-hmm. Like Mike had mentioned, you walk up to the restaurant, you don't know if it's open.
Right.
You don't know what the restrictions are. You don't know what the hours are. So having that display that faces out to display that messaging, to display, the menu, the options, that sort of thing, it's really helpful, I think.
Because how many times have you walked up to a restaurant or any kind of food facility and found a little pasted piece of paper on the inside back of the door? It's half crumpled up and torn to shreds that says closed, or this is our new hours, or something's going on here.
Yep.
And you don't know that until you've walked up to it, and then you're just mad. Like, well, I'm not coming back to this stupid place. I didn't even know they weren't open today.
Or it's 3 weeks old.
Yeah,
and they haven't changed
exactly. Yeah, but yeah, you're right though. If you could drive by or just be like, even from the road or something, be able to quickly see like we're open. Here's our hours or something. You're right. Yeah. I never really thought about that, but yeah, because that's happened to me. There's a donut place I went to a couple weeks back that for some reason was closed on Mondays. I don't know why you pick Monday. Like, I want a donut on Monday morning. Yeah, I don't know. So, but I walked up. I got out of my car, walked up to the door, put my mask on, walked up to the door. And then there was just a little piece of paper in the corner that told me their hours right now. I'm like, come on. Like, it wasn't on the internet. It wasn't anywhere else. Like, it was right there. Anyway,
pizza place, and there was just an 8.5 by 11 on the window, and it said max 3 people at a time, and it's a small little lobby. How do I know how many people are in there? Where does the line start to note who's next in line? It was a mosh pit in the parking lot. So definitely a lot of the displays that we're talking about too, that go in the window here, they're not your traditional displays. These should be high bright that can shine through like the window tints. And if you have a pair of polarized sunglasses, take a look at a screen and then rotate that screen 90 degrees. And you'll most likely see it black out because it actually crosses in with the polarization. So with a lot of the commercial displays we're talking about, they're a higher brightness. And when they're put in portrait mode to fit easier in a window frame, you can still read them with sunglasses. And that's a small little feature that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Kind of going back a little bit, I'm gonna rewind where we were on the software companies, because to Mike's point, I'm not even gonna Google digital signage software because it will be ridiculous amounts of returns on that, and that's really overwhelming. I can remember, and I hate to keep going back, but you know, when our company got into digital signage, even back then, 20 years ago, it was overwhelming at that point in time. So here's what I think a reseller should keep in mind is that if you have a relationship with your customer that is awesome, that they see you as a true consultant and you're a true partner to them, don't worry about the digital signage in the sense that finding the right partner. If you lean on manufacturers like an LG and Mike or Blue Star from a distributor standpoint, we can help guide you to the right person because we live in that world. So if you have an opportunity, if you own the relationship and you have an opportunity in retail, we'll guide you to the right software companies. Or if you're in the manufacturing world and you're looking for somebody, we can help guide you. I mean, I would just advocate that you lean on the partners that are in the space to help guide you, because you got the relationship. Lean on your ecosystem to help guide you to the right point, and they're out there. I mean, I love where you're going, Mike. That, you know, it's gotten so niche in digital signage. You can find software specifically for healthcare, specifically for front of house, retail, et cetera. They're out there already. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just need to connect yourself to the right person.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, Patrick, I want to ask you, let's put on our VAR caps here for a moment and think about how should our VARs be out looking for opportunities? What kind of questions should they be asking? I mean, we've kind of established that there's a million different uses for digital signage, and most likely any VAR that we come across has a customer that could use it. What should they be talking to them about? What should they be asking them? What should they be doing in order to maybe start that conversation?
Really, I mean, just looking for unique and different ways. You know, you want to think outside of the box. To add a little more to that, you know, you want to ask as many questions as you can. You want to fully understand their options that they have now, their application, so you can really diagnose their problems and have a full solution, that operating solution at the end.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know what I would like to lead off with? What are your communication needs within the space? Or what are you not doing because what you're doing today is so cumbersome, right? I love where you're going, Mike, with that little piece of paper on the window. Yeah, you know, we had to print this thing off on a copier. And so, you know, I would always walk in and say, well, what are your communication needs? What needs to be conveyed here? And then obviously you can get into the conversation about doing that in a dynamic manner that is so much better using digital signage and not having to go through the print mode. It starts to sell itself, you know, not so it's opportunities that they have right now. Here's what we're communicating via signage right now. but then here's all the stuff that we're not communicating because it's too cumbersome to go out and print and change these boards and do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the digital signage. That's like ripe for digital signage. Okay, well, if we put a monitor here, you can do all that stuff, by the way, in real time and those kinds of things. So, you know, when I think about opportunities, it's just kind of understanding the space, which our resellers, they know. They know their space that they operate in better than anybody. And just take a step back and think, okay, the people that are in this environment, what do they need to be communicated to? And then just start having the dialogue with the people that you know, right? And it'll just naturally go towards that type of a digital signage, I think. Yeah. The opportunities are there.
And you really want to think about how to grab attention. And the ultimate goal is to enhance the customer experience.
Yep. Right. That's a good point.
So you just overall think of how you can do that. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the ideas will pop up. And
Yeah, and I would say, you know, don't be afraid to point out the stuff that the places where you think it would fit. You know, if you are walking into that facility at a restaurant or whatever and say, man, your hours up there, like, is almost impossible to read right now. Or, man, your menu, I mean, you know, like, you could probably do something with this or whatever. Like, don't be afraid to go to these people and say, hey, you know, I'm not trying to sell you anything right now, but I just want to point out, I see a couple opportunities where maybe some digital signage can help out your operation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it could be I'll go back to the manufacturing world. And I love where you're going, Patrick. It's just asking the question. Mm-hmm. Like, if you walk in and say to yourself, okay, here's a manufacturing environment. I wonder how they compensate their employees. It's probably on productivity. Hey, customer, you know, do you copy your employees on productivity? Yeah. Well, how do you tell them that? Oh, we do a printout, you know, once a week, and they get an idea. Would it be a little bit better if we could display that in real time, so that they can kind of keep an eye on the ball? Yeah. What are you talking about? Well, you know, you're just asking the question. You're starting to have
you're
the
creating
dialogue.
An opportunity for yourself.
Yeah.
In a sense.
I mean, you are.
It's there, right? But you're there. Creating it by bringing it to their attention because maybe they're just not thinking about it.
No, it's just fundamentally understanding the technology. And how it can be leveraged in these environments for the benefit, really, of the whole at the end of the road.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I'll let you wrap up with and maybe this is actually a question for both you and Patrick. Both, you've probably both got some thoughts here. But are there any unexpected uses or industries for digital signage right now? Places where maybe it's starting to occur, or you think there should be some growth here? And maybe also we could kind of touch on the whole COVID current situation thing, because Mike, you've mentioned a couple times that there are situations where people need to use that kind of signage right now in order to communicate very important information to customers or people that are trying to enter a facility. So where are you seeing unexpected uses, places where it's suddenly spiking that maybe people didn't think of before? And then, you know, after that, maybe we'll get into some future predictions as well.
Yeah. So the market's really adopted. I'd say grocery is a big one. A lot of your grocery and your food, so your quick serve stops, that's been a big driver of this technology recently. Previously, oranges are 99 cents a pound, whereas now you're repurposing that space to inform of where to stand. Where does this line go? Please walk this way. So that market has really, really grown. There's a lot of unique signage applications as well, different forms of digital signage. So really narrow banners that are really wide that you can put in above door frames, around pillars. So you're finding applications and deployments for digital signage that you can't with a traditional display. So there's a display, it's a foot wide and 7 feet tall. You can put that on a pillar and actually move folks around. So think of replacing out the marquees at a movie theater, where, hey, here's theater four, here's what's playing, and now you have actually a little trailer with maybe an advertisement along the side. Grocery has really grown. And then we mentioned corporate as well. The HR initiative right now around keeping employees safe, keeping employees informed has really grown in 2020. And that's going to continue to be a theme, because as we progress throughout the future, it's just going to be a critical point of informing of key information. And what better way to do it? We're all visual people. It's a visual medium. So getting that information out that way.
Are you seeing a lot of application in smart cities? That's always, I feel like whenever I read about what's happening in smart cities, at some point discussions about digital signage comes up, whether it's wayfinding or just, you know, providing information, traffic information. What are you hearing from that space?
Yeah, smart city is definitely it's a very hot talking point right now. Advertising from a municipality standpoint, you're seeing a higher adoption of just outdoor displays that can literally put outside, and they're perfectly weatherproof. So in cases of, once again, emergency response, if there's a hurricane incoming, evacuate, here's your evacuation route. Up in Buffalo, we get snow a little bit. So, hey, here's an emergency broadcast. You know, don't enter the highway right now. Go home. Smart city is really it's a hot topic. It's really a hot topic right now when you talk about how you can help manage street lights correlated to people walking down the street. So you think when a sports game ends, you now have a flood of people and traffic that hit the streets. So now, you know, digital signage can help play in that with directing people where to go, but doing things like sensors to determine how many people are in certain locations. So smart city is definitely a hot topic as well.
Awesome. Patrick, what about you? I know in the BDM role, we frequently get asked by our salespeople and the resellers about, hey, a customer came to me and they want to do this. Is that something you guys can do? Like, and a lot of times those would be questions where you think, man, I've never been asked that before. But yeah, that is probably something that could apply to this piece of hardware. Have you had any interesting, unusual questions like that that you weren't expecting but are viable uses for digital signage?
As Mike had mentioned, we're working on a solution now with entrance flow management. So you walk into a doctor's office, a dentist office, any type of office environment, and it has a camera on it, displays whether or not you can enter the office or you wait outside. So another one as well, Dean, we actually discussed it, is video conferencing in a patient. With a patient in a hospital, nursing home, that sort of thing. That's a high demand right now. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, to answer the question, am I seeing any unique types of offerings or new types of applications? I'm seeing more and more requests for kiosks, which uses digital signage. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the traditional small format screen type of kiosks. They're using large displays, so you can really display whatever messaging you want, and they're attaching whatever peripheral to that.
Which I think will become even more important as we become something of a self-service world.
You know? Oh, yeah, exactly.
The idea is to stay away from people, as many self-service options as there are possible out there, and that'll lend to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We worked with a university that had, it was a big 3x3 touchscreen, and they digitized a lot of ancient maps. And they scan these all in, and then it was a big touchscreen. In video walls, the bezel is so narrow now that it's almost non-existent. And you had these really cool, you know, thousands of years old maps that you could actually zoom in and look at all these intricacies. It was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool indeed. Well, what about the future? Do you guys have any predictions about digital signage of the future, places it's going to end up being? I'm gonna refer to it because it's the official movie of the Tech Connect podcast.
Right.
We referred to the Minority Report on this show several times, and the classic scenes. There's a couple scenes in that movie where Tom Cruise is walking through a mall, and all the digital signage at all the stores are scanning his eyes, identifying who he is, and advertising directly to him.
Yep.
So that's kind of, to me, that is the future of digital signage kind of thing right there. And yet we're not too far away from that.
Well, like it's there.
It's there in some extent. It's not, we're not scanning eyeballs yet, but we're getting close.
Yeah.
So I'm curious from both of you, any other, you know, is that something that's viable, or more importantly, is there any other weird future predictions that you guys are hearing about or interested in seeing happen?
That technology is definitely coming along, where identifying based on the sort of an estimated demographic of, I am a 30 to 50 year old male, I would probably be interested in a car. So you can identify those tactics. There's a lot of security that's tied to that. You can't necessarily store anyone's data. So it's really a flash of, what's happening there. But that absolutely exists. We're seeing a lot of virtual fitting rooms as well. So sort of this idea of an endless aisle, where you would have to have every single size of every piece of article of clothing out, and have the patron walk around and see everything. Now you could stand in front of a mirror and say, put me behind a beach background and put me in a blue top and some shorts. Cool. Right. We have this in your size, or why don't we just ship it to you, be at your house in 2 days. Don't worry about carrying the bag around. It all ties back to that customer experience scene that we've been talking about. Touch screens now. You're seeing a lot more interactivity from that aspect. Things like on cooler doors, putting transparent displays. So not just a normal, hey, pick up a Coke or Pepsi, but now you can have a bottle of Coke pouring down, fill the screen up, then it goes clear. And it's this whole big thing. Now we're even seeing this with touchscreen transparent displays. So we actually just worked with a car dealership where you walk in, it's a 55-inch touchscreen. You design your car right on it, and then there's a 12K video wall right behind it. So as you're looking at the screen, you're moving this car around 3D. It's moving in real size behind you, all virtually. And you're changing the interior color. You change the paint color, put it in a cityscape, put it driving through the hills. And you change all that in real time. It modifies that video behind you. So it all comes down to that customer experience. And you're going to continue to see that hyper-convergence of messaging in front of displays. So we talked about corporate communications and putting up a message of here's open enrollment. But now when I'm sitting at my desktop, I'm looking at a screen. Why am I not broadcasting messages out on that screen as well? What about in my car? What about on my phone? So you're going to see a lot of that all come together. And digital signage is going to be a major component of that unified communication, all that coming together, hyperconvergence, fun stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited about the future with that kind of stuff.
So. Yep, no doubt.
Well, this has been a fantastic conversation. I do feel like we've given a nice 101 level. I want to thank Professor Stachura and Professor Trounce for coming in as cohorts for this semester of Digital Signage 101. Dean, did you have any extra additional thoughts to add?
I do not. I know we're getting into the value of the VAR, so I made some notes regard.
Well, Dean's right on it. We want to shift over to our recurring segments. The first one is the value to the VAR. This is where we want to talk directly to our reseller. Our listeners, a little bit about, kind of how this conversation wraps up into one piece that they need to think about. And the question I want to ask you guys, and Patrick, I'll let you start with this one, is, why should a VAR that's not currently selling digital technology or digital signage, why should they be getting into the technology? I feel like we've touched on this in a lot of ways, but what are a couple bullet points that you would give them of why they should be involved in this?
Sure. I mean, as Mike mentioned, there's several different types of technologies that are increasing. We're seeing more automation, more interactive experience, more, touches everywhere now. So there's tons of opportunity there. Yeah. You really need to look into it. And it's increasing in our world.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Mike? When you talk to a reseller and they're kind of like, "Yeah, I don't know if this is something I want to get into. I'm fine with my niche." How do you persuade them otherwise?
Convergence. This technology is all merging together. Services piece is a big portion as well. If I was a business owner of a VAR, I'm thinking first, what are my services? That's the higher margin product that I'm selling. That's where I get my customer retention. And that's where my valuation of my company comes from. What is my monthly recurring revenue? And signage is a great way to do that because you have the cloud-based CMS content management system that ties into that displays. You can often get into a sort of a leasing type agreement of refreshing those displays every few often. So it comes down to business valuation, services, and spiffs too. There's a lot of money to be made. So definitely kind of really those three points. And then also if we're not talking signage now, someone else is going to be talking to your partner about signage in the near future. So the market is double-digit growth year over year. IT is coming more into it. So just really bringing everybody together, start talking about it, because if not, risk of losing the customer. So
damn, Mike, he took my value to the VAR away from me.
He says that at some point every episode.
As a service written down, and I'm going to have to parlay on what Mike was saying there, that, why would a VAR consider getting into this? Absolutely. As a business owner, you can leverage the services that you have. You might need to tweak them a little bit, right? But you probably have skill sets on board right now. I don't care if you're an ADC reseller. If you're an ADC reseller, you probably have a programmer on board on your staff who likes to get into UI and stuff like that. You can convert that into additional services that you have in the digital signage world. You can get that recurring revenue that you've been looking for on some of these services. If you dip your toe a little bit into the content, or whether it's just maintaining the displays. As a reseller, we got into it. We developed we called it our network operations center. We have a NOC, and it sounded so cool back in the day. You know what our NOC was? It was a dude in a computer that had real-time information about whether or not the display was on in XYZ facility, but we still sold that. Hey, we can monitor your displays for you, and if they go down, we'll take care of that for you. So to where you're going, Mike, about IT resellers, there's no reason why an IT reseller should not be getting into this. If they're doing managed services at all, my gosh, you should be getting into digital signage because it's easy, and that's my second point. It's a lot easier than you probably think it is to get into digital digital signage. And, you know, the barrier to entries, as we talked about, have come down. It's easy to for you to get involved in it. You got to know what your skill sets are. Leverage your skills. Look for good partners that can, you know, augment what you're doing. Maybe it's on the content side. Maybe it's on the software side. That's cool. They're out there. They're very niche-y. You just got to connect yourself with those right folks, and you can start making money in this industry.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I don't have anything more to add to that because I was thinking all the same things.
Yeah, like, you know, right? It's Mike's fault then, right?
That's right. Well, it is. You know, like you just said, I think we've established quite a few times in this podcast that it's relatively easy and that there are plenty of options available to you now, affordable options that are available to you now.
Yeah,
there are companies like LG that are more than happy to help you find the right hardware.
Oh, yeah.
There are companies like Bluestar that are more than happy to help you find the right software partners and help you out with content creation or, you know, finding the right people that can do that for you. So, you know, as always, utilize your resources. Everybody you've heard on this podcast is a resource. Maybe not me. I'm not going to pretend I'm someone you should talk to about it. But I can tell you, I can introduce you to the guys.
Bingo.
That can. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm the middleman to the middleman.
Avar to start as well. Is in your next QBR, just ask, what is your market for the next 6 months look like? What do you want your customer experience to be? What's ailing your business? And digital signage might be a really good answer to some of those objectives that they have or some goals that they have. And just having that conversation is key. Because it'll definitely come up.
Agreed.
Awesome.
Agreed.
Well, now we want to do the fun part of the show. This is what's tech connecting.
Oh, this hasn't been fun?
Well, it's all been fun.
I can talk digital signage all day long.
This is the more fun, the funner part, yeah. Anyway, so this is where we talk about a piece of technology, whether it's a cool new gadget, a game, a streaming service, an app, just something we've been reading about that's fascinating. We want to talk about what's tech connecting with us. Mike, I'll let you start. What is tech connecting with you right now?
NFC, near field communication. I think just the idea of home automation, tying everything together, walking up to your house, tapping your phone on the side of the house, the door unlocks, the entry light turns on. I am absolutely obsessed with everything that I spend too much time programming and toying around with everything, but I love all things automation and just the different toys and trinkets that are out there.
Oh, yeah. Hard that's agree. Awesome. Yeah, who doesn't?
And anything baby technology as well. With a 7-month-old, any bit of technology that we can get so she sleeps longer or doesn't cry, I'm absolutely in. If anyone has a diaper change, an automatic diaper changing thing, I'm in. I'm a buyer.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where's the Roomba for the diaper changing? You know, the little robot that comes in and does these things. Yeah.
You know, maybe that'll make my son a little more excited about him. He's almost 3, and he's getting to that point where we're starting to try to potty train him. But he's not quite interested in that, but he also hates the diapers right now.
And oh, like, of course.
Dude, like... You know, pick one, pick a lane here,
right?
Because I don't want to do the diaper changes anymore either. But you don't seem to want to use the potty, so I need something that can help out with that.
Yeah, so. I love where you're going with the technology, though. We all get geeky around here talking about home technology, and man, it's fascinating. There's a lot of stuff happening in that field that's kind of cool. Now we don't have the diaper changing yet, though, for you, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever gonna happen. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Until we
get like robot maids or something. That's a whole new problem. Patrick, what about you? What's tech connecting with you right now?
I actually have a couple, a couple quick ones. So, I've been using rewards through apps a lot more lately, and I'm loving it. I mean, when you can order family for your food, and then the next week you're getting a free burrito, a free guacamole, free chicken sandwich, that sort of thing. I'm loving it. So I'm using more and more apps to order food. Nice. It's nice to just go and do the curbside pickup. You don't have to get out of your car. Don't have to worry about the signage on the window, what you're supposed to do when you walk in.
Right.
So it's just brought out to your car by use of app. The second thing is, as some of you know, I'm a big hockey fan. So when I was younger, I used to write to teams and players for their autographs. Mm-hmm. So my son is 10 years old now, and I recently, you know, as we've all had a lot more time, I got to thinking, you know, I wonder how that's handled nowadays. You know, how do you request autographs? That
how
sort
would
of thing.
You do that? Is it a tweet? How do you do that?
So I found a site. It's called TTM Manager through the Mail Manager.
Okay.
So it tracks the success rate, the addresses. Of writing to specific players and teams.
Get out of town.
That's awesome.
It gives you a timeline of, you know, how long the letter's been out, if they've had success, if it's pending, that sort of thing.
Really?
So my son and I have been able to sit down and really target, you know, players that we want to write.
Right.
And we're going to start sending out letters.
What is it called?
There's various sites, but it's TTM manager through the mail manager.
That's awesome.
And it's not just sports. You can write to celebrities. It tells you if there's success rates emailing certain celebrities, that sort of thing. So
that is that is very cool.
It's awesome.
Everything has been done, right?
Seriously, it has. Like when you're managing whether your favorite celebrity or sports star will actually respond to you, that is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I love technology. Cool. This is why we do this segment for stuff like that.
Yeah, I learn something new every day. That's the only handy. Two you got?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
What about you, Dean?
Dude, I got one that I cannot believe. So I got a phrase for you. And I know I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but I cannot believe this hasn't gotten more exposure than it has. Here's the phrase: off-world vehicles not made of this earth. Have you heard the New York Times story that came out?
Not.
Where basically the U.S. government has admitted that we have, and I'll say it again, off-world vehicles not made of this earth.
Right.
I just can't even get my head around that. You know, so do you know who Bob Lazar is?
Yep.
Okay, so maybe he wasn't a kook after all.
No, he was not.
The guy that worked in the S4, I guess, the area S4. I've
learned
a little bit more
about
him.
He was a congressman for a while, too, wasn't he? Was at the same, or no, I'm thinking of Harry Reid. Harry Reid was big on trying to expose this stuff,
too. Yes, dude. I mean, it's just, I can't get over that phrase. And just, I've been thinking to myself, okay, so we're not alone, you know, right? And we've got, our government has admitted that we've got stuff here that we can't explain, you know, that is not made of this earth.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just trying to get my head around it. And it's hurting my head.
We need to bring back Storm Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that from last year? Like, that was the thing going around that everybody was going to try to rush Storm Area 51.
Well, that's where they're at.
In there. Yeah, exactly.
So Bob Lazar is a guy who, I guess, was back in 1989. He had this seminal interview with KLAS, who's the TV station in Nevada there in Las Vegas. And, you know, he basically spilled the beans about the fact that he worked in a very specific area on a very specific, he was into the propulsion of one of the aircraft, if you call it that, one of the craft that they found. And everybody's like, whatever, dude's just like loony. But now you fast forward to 2020. And by the way, only this can happen in 2020 and not get the news coverage.
Yep.
I mean, what kind of a year are we living in?
Yep.
You got a pandemic, you got social rioting, you got a Great Depression. Oh, and just throw in the fact that UFOs are real.
Yeah.
It's no aliens on 2020 bingo.
I mean, how does that
and
even
somehow
happen?
That's the least of our problems right
this
now.
This is the least of our problems, is the fact that we have off-road vehicles not made of this earth that we got.
Yep.
We don't know what to do with them. You know, they're over here in the corner. It's like, what is going on?
That should have been like a week-long cycle of the biggest story.
Week-long?
In human
this
history.
This is like, no, you're not diving big enough, dude. I mean, this is like game changing across the board.
Yeah.
This is what is religion. It goes so deep so fast for me. It's like, wow. Okay, so they finally admitted that they got them.
Yeah, which, you know, that also does make me think, though, if they're finally admitting to this and putting these videos out, they must not be terribly concerned about the public response. Or maybe that's why they picked right now. They're like,
maybe it is.
Like, hey,
we can't,
this is a good
it.
Time
we can't
to
handle
slide
it right
this
now.
Out. Yeah. No one's going to pay attention to this. It's not going to blow anyone's minds. So.
We got, you know, what are they going to do about it at this point in time? Jeez.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to get my head around it.
There you go.
That's what's connecting with me.
All right.
How about you, John?
So I'm going to, I hate to like bring down the show, but I am going to kind of give a little bit of a somber note for mine. A few weeks back, we heard about the passing of Grant Imahara. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with Grant, if you know the show Mythbusters, classic show, went on for years, where
Love
they tackled
that guy.
The, you know, the myths from Hollywood and just the regular myths that people always came up with about, like, you know, if you keep your eyes open while you're sneezing, will they pop out of your head? Can you really drive better when you're drunk? They tested out all these awesome things. Grant was one of the build team guys. He came into the show maybe a year or two in, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was him, Tori Belacci, and Kerry Byron are the three build team. Honestly, sometimes they were my favorite part of the show because they always
100%.
Got just fun side cool projects to go off on. And he was like the tech guy who went in and like helped design like what they needed to do in order to try something out.
Yeah.
Well, he passed away a few weeks back. I didn't know also when I was reading about it that he helped out with a lot of special effects for major films. He was the guy running R2-D2 in the new movies.
What?
There used to be a guy in R2-D2 for a long time in the old movies. But now, obviously, it's you know, digital and robotics, you know. He was the guy that helped put that together and create the programming and was the guy behind the scenes operating R2 and some of the other droids. He worked on a lot of other feature films, was really well known for his technical ability in Hollywood and for robotics. Mm-hmm. Just great guy. Always, no one that knew him had anything bad to say about him. So, you know, a big loss for you know, the world of wonder and you want to talk about a show. MythBusters is the kind of show like for people like us that are fascinated by technology. RIP Grant Imahara.
There you go. A little homage to him. I love that show. Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more. The three of them really kind of made that show what it was. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Too bad. But, you know, good memories, right?
Oh, yeah,
good
definitely. Memories. Yeah. Well, that does it for us. I want to, again, thank Mike and Patrick for joining us. Thank you guys both for being
thank
on the show.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Today. It is time for us to unplug, but before we do that, I do want to let our fans and listeners know that, hey, you can reach out to us if you have any questions or concerns about digital signage. If you're a reseller and you want to get into this, don't hesitate to reach out to us. If you want to get, you know, with Mike and Patrick, great, but you can also reach out just to us on the pod. We're on Twitter at TechConnectPod. You can email us techconnect@bluestarinc.com. And hey, if you like the show, please get on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star
review. Give us a little rating.
There, right? Yeah.
Tell your friends to subscribe along the way.
Get somebody else to subscribe. We need the love. You know, we would appreciate
there
that
you
right
go.
Now.
There so, you go.
Until next time, everybody, stay connected. Tech Connect Podcast is brought to you by LG. More than ever, relaying information to employees and customers is critical, especially when health protocol messages can change at any moment. That's why LG is offering special signage packages for essential services like grocers, restaurants, home improvement centers, medical clinics, pharmacies, banks, and more. LG's health protocol solutions provide easy-to-use digital signage that you can update messaging on as often as necessary, even remotely from a central location. Each package also includes a mobile cart for mounting, allowing flexible placement where signage is needed. To learn more, visit LG's microsite at bluestarinc.com or contact your LG representative.